Hey everybody, delighted to be back with you on the Markets Hyper channel talking precious metals. And today we have Andrew Slay, Senior Sales Exec with Sprott Money. And it's great to have you. First of all, Andrew, thank you for coming on.
Awesome to be here, Francis. Thank you so much for having me.
It's nice to have a representative of Sprott Money, and I like talking to the broker-dealers because I have a feeling that there's nobody has a finger on the pulse in terms of flows and what the retail market is doing and what they're purchasing. Are they buying at the moment? Are they afraid? Is there a recession? Any better than somebody who actually sees the phones ringing and sees the orders coming in? How's it looking out there for you in terms of American citizens, or including North America, Canada as well, I imagine, and their buying habits right now?
So, great question. I'm in Canada. And so I can give you a really good idea what's happening here. Business for metals is extremely slow in Canada, like possibly record-breaking slow, okay? And the things that have just occurred here recently is that the Royal Canadian Mint is sold out of kilo bars of gold. None available, no determined time when they're available.
Wow.
Okay. Now, this is about a month ago. And then last Friday night, I find out that there are no 100-ounce silver Royal Canadian Mint bars of silver available. And I'm like, what? Like a week before? No problem. This week, now there's none. How does this happen? And this is what always drives me crazy in the industry. And so, how is it? I proposed this question to my product manager. We had this discussion and I said, listen, this I find to be extremely interesting. And I've been formulating a theory that I think the rest of the world is buying the back door. And we're sooner or later in the West going
the discount window, if I may add. Everybody is jamming the discount window. They're no longer balking at it. They're queuing up and dumping fiat. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, it's all right. And so I said, 3 years ago, we had the trucker convoy scenario and the banking seizures, and that just opened the floodgates up. And I had people, like I wrote 8 months worth of sales in 6 days. That's what was going on during the trucker convoy. I did, my biggest day ever was 7 million in a day.
Wow.
It was crazy. So everyone realized that the government and the banks are shenanigans, and they just like, no friggin' way, I'm taking my money out of the bank. And it was just going on. And then after a few weeks, the bankers called Trudeau and said, if you don't rescind the Emergencies Act, we're going down.
I remember that U-turn very distinctly. So there was a nasty run on the Canadian dollar at the same time as well. He got a few very adverse feedback events. I'm all for politicians, particularly the cultural Marxists, getting a few adverse feedback events. And he sure got a kick in the jacksy. Yes, I remember that moment very distinctly.
So why I'm referencing that is we had the busiest time in Canada for selling metal like crazy, barely able to keep it in stock. And yet 100-ounce silver bars never sold out, never came close to selling out at the mint. And kilo bars of gold never sold out. And now, 3 years later, we're dead slow. And
is that, just clarify, just for everybody who will be listening to that, it's dead slow on account of having nothing to sell. The phone still rings from buyers. Or it's dead slow, buyers have gone to ground, and you've got no stock. Which is it?
Canadians are fast asleep.
So demand side has gone quiet, but you also have issues on the supply side right now in terms of having any stock. So even if they were awake, you might not be able to fully serve them. So there's a sort of stalemate of exhaustion, it seems, on the buyers. Here's my take on that. I've got a couple of things to throw at you. But just your opening statement. My mind's like fireworks popping all over the place. So I'll try to contain this to one at a time. Right now, Britain is emptying their vaults and has sent something like 373 tons of precious metals to America who've run out of bullion. I'm not sure if you're hearing that, but
I had a hurdle yesterday. Yeah. Yes. And then basically they've, in my terms, they've defaulted, because they went from a 2-3 day delivery to 4 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And if they stay in 4 to 8 weeks, it's going to probably get stretched to 10. So they are literally putting a massive timer buffer in. There is a major central bank run. This is all in lieu of there's inside the circumstances that sees Eastern Europe becoming prodigious buyers, Hungary and Poland. Poland have actually said something like they want to be at 20%. There seems to be an unwritten rule that Freedom of Information Act requests have failed to unfurl or being denied, that sees an absolute minimum of 4% on every European nation, with very few actually distributing. Switzerland's done a minor sales. Most other nations actually are booting it up to get to at least 4% and beyond. And as I've mentioned, Poland has put it that their goal, they've explicitly stated, they want 20% of GDP. And here's my spitballing, and maybe you can come back at me and say, Francis, I think you're a loony, or maybe there's something to what you're saying. Debt to GDP is, in many cases in Europe, around 100% and beyond in certain instances. There's a couple of nations that are somewhat below. But if we were to have a 25x re-rating in gold valuation at a click of a finger, someone sitting at 4% would be fully backed on their debt suddenly. And it would almost be sweep of the pen base magic. We're back and we're backed, racked, stacked and intact, you know, and that could be convenient. And of course, they would want some runway room for, you know, their proliferation for future as well. They're hardly going to go to just where they need to be. They're going to actually want to buy a bit of extra length to the runway. They don't want to, you know, literally land and take off as the tarmac ends. So why not go 50 so that you actually are only... If the average nation is 100% debt to GDP, you're suddenly going to you're double backed, and you have overdraft now to further proliferate and still remain within 100% backed, even after an extended period of further proliferation. That's just the spitball that I'm throwing up there, because they're refusing to confirm or deny this. And Freedom of Information Acts have been made on this topic. And most central banks in Europe are buying. And Europe is a busted flush. And London used to be a big holder and is having to see all of these outflows. It's in a terrible trajectory right now under Keir Starmer. And most of that gold doesn't belong to them. And they seem to be double backing American shortfalls, which sees them as the having their own inventory emptied out. So is it possible in a reset moment that we could suddenly have a Basel I asset, tier one type asset, be revalued to bring some confidence back to failed by debt European states?
Well, right now, I think it's going to be the cryptos, or the Bitcoins. America is talking about using that as a substitute for the dollar for the time being. I'm not sure that we're going to have a gold reevaluation.
I think the substitute for the dollar will be the stable coin and the reserve asset that gets hyperinflated to try at an accounting level, bring up the reserve asset nature, is going to be the likes of Bitcoin, XRP, and maybe a portfolio of more than just Bitcoin. So the CBDC is a stable coin, is it not? Almost.
It's the same thing. They're just using a bait and switch. They know CBDCs is unpopular. The public are aware what that is. So now they're calling it stable coin. And that's, you know, the same enslavement. But what I mean by the gold revaluation, I agree that there will be a revaluation for sure. But I don't know if it's going to be a nation revaluing gold to try and back up its currency. I don't think you're punching a little bit above my weight on this one, because I'm not an analyst.
So he's footballing. But I'm just saying this could be done at a global level, not just a European level. It could be as that the Bank of International Settlements is this kind of transnational organization that stipulated that, you know, it's a tier one asset goal. And they could say, well, we've had a think tank. There's all these quangos and think tanks, which are largely controlled entities of dark state, as far as I'm concerned, that could say they make a recommendation for all nations, much as we had the World Health Organization intervene on our behalves for the March 2020 events, which less said the better. But that could be a similar type economic health intervention. Maybe that could have transnational reach where everyone then says, hey, we hold gold. Who's going to say no to actually going from being bankrupt to being resolvent on the basis that the real value of something has now been subsequently massively upvalued?
Yeah, I don't even know where to start with that. So I'm going to jump because I got like four things I want to say to all that. So on the revaluation, my theory on that I've been sort of coming to mind is that the war against the people, they don't want you and I having gold and silver. So they're going to, you know, this whole impoverishment plan, like the great taking scenario, which I agree with on that. I've been talking about it for 9 years. And then he writes the book and David Webb is confirming what I've been saying all these years, basically. So I agree with that. That's where I'm camping out. And then, so in relation to that, I think what's going to happen is that when they shut down the financial system and everyone's broke, whatever's left with people's pockets, cash and whatnot, that's directly in their possession, that's when they may revalue gold and silver so that nobody can really buy much after that. And they're going to let it
flush everyone out. They want a final flush. They don't want to win and own all the wealth. It's almost more important that they also ensure you lose and shed all your wealth. Right. And even though they probably have the bulk of the wealth of the world anyway, through all the various proxies, it's important they hollow everyone out into UBI, self-subservience to states. This is a global communism that they're chasing. Yeah.
100%. So that's what I've always, you know, thought about. Now, you know, in the Senate of Canada, UBI is in the final comment stage of approval. So it's already legislatively been worked on for 2 years. And you can look at it online. I mean, it's right there. I've not confirmed this, but the source told me, and I have no reason to doubt it, but I have not confirmed it. Also, the Canadian dollar has been also legislatively already done that it's no longer legal tender January 2021, apparently. So that lines up, in my opinion.
Do you mean 2021? In other words, it's been four years of not being legal tender.
Well, the MO of the government is if they plan on doing all these things, they can't all of a sudden bring out a CBDC, let's say next month, and then 2 weeks later say the Canadian dollar is no longer legal tender. They can't do that. It takes 2 years to get it through legislation. Yeah. So they go through and get it all done. It's finished. And they haven't dated it yet. It's pre-act. Yeah. And they put it on the shelf. And then they're going to pull it out when they need to put a date on it.
Yeah.
So, and that's the same as UBI and all that. So, and then there was an advertisement here recently from one of our political leaders about, you know, people interested in a government passive income sign up here. You know, I mean, that's UBI, like just crazy crap like that. And then there's the debt for our country. As of a year ago this month, when you include all levels of government and corporate debt and family household debt, we were at $10.2 trillion. And that represents 408% of GDP for Canada. And when Ireland failed, I'm sure you're aware, you know, in 2008, they were at 400% by the same measurement. And yeah. Greece in 2010, I think it was, same measurement, they were 345.
Yeah.
So we're a failed country now. It's just nobody's admitting it.
And no one's in the rug. What they need to do is march all the wounded soldiers to the edge of the cliff and keep them standing until they've all got them all there. Then they can 1, 2, 3 all together now, boys. heave-ho. And that's why I've referred to this as a synchronized controlled demolition job. That is, you can only move as fast as the slowest one. And right. You get everyone else treading water, marking time, until you're ready to do the whole bang caboodle. And other agenda items that need to be synchronized, that will go. Because there'll be there's going to be smoke and mirrors events to mask the financial part of the collapse, as something, some conflict or many other aspects. So, okay, we agreed to attack you at this date and that time, and, we'll have these casualties. Okay, I'll kill your guys, you kill some of mine. We do a bit of population control. So they're dotting the I's and the T's on all of those contracts as well, along with all the money laundering, the organ harvesting and illicit trade, the sex trafficking, the children trafficking. I've no doubt in my mind we're due another wave of all of that. Back to the gold, though, before we get too dark. So we know there's clear shortfalls in inventory. It's getting out that that's the case. I mean, all that makes me want to do is to buy some more 1 kilogram bars of gold and a couple of 1,000 ounce, futures stock of silver and stack. And why are the Canadians not doing it? I have a theory, but I'm going to be interested in your answer. I'll tell you where I'm at. I think we're in a global recession generally, and people's disposable is that hard pressed, and the stacks are being manufactured and made to lie. To the extent that everybody is being told somebody else somewhere else apart from them is doing real well. And I would say outside of the military industrial complex, the pharmaceutical or cancer industrial complex, the tech oligarchical surveillance, finance and biometric industrial complex, nobody is doing well if you're in any other space to that. And we've got this twisted bubble economy where we in essence have the super force-fed with status money and expenditure that's being added to the debt pile that's going into these captured industries that are part of our future digital prison and all the other things that go with that. And then the big bubble, which is the rest of us, the common man, are in actual fact in quite a poor state in terms of disposable income and the purchasing power of that disposable income to a true inflation rate, which is nothing like the stats you get. That's my theory, why Canadians could be hearing that news, but just haven't got the dime to go and pick up those 1 kilo gold bars and those 100 ounce silver bars. Right or wrong, what's your take?
I think you're right. And I think that's right for the vast majority of people, like the common person that's, I have turned back the clock about 3 years where people were buying every month. They had $1,000 extra at the end of the month or 500 or whatever it was. And the phone was ringing and we were doing a lot of smaller orders. And those calls are all gone. Like at every level, like it doesn't matter. We're basically an online and on the phone operation. We don't have a street storefront. We're administration office and everything ships out of a warehouse type thing. And so, all the phone calls for those little orders are all basically gone. And even my friend's shop, that's 8 minutes from where I live, where people came in on paydays and bought one or two silver maples or whatever, those are all gone. None of that's existing any longer. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but it's the usual people that were coming in are now gone.
So what we're saying, if I can summarize that just before, capture your thoughts. The large part of your purchasing is not so much all that you get the big guys that buy 1,500,000 orders occasionally, sporadically, but you also have a steady monthly flow of net disposable where people with that little bit that was left over would drop in and get a grand's worth of whatever their selection and choice is. And that disposable has now largely disappeared. So the credit cards, the rising interest rates, possibly the higher mortgage payments, the credit card payments, et cetera, the point of sale in the groceries, ticket prices going up, has killed to a large degree that buyer. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. So the next level buyer, like I do a lot of orders that are very large. So, my average ticket sales are $50,000 a piece, type thing that in that area and above, you know, like last Monday I did 1.1 million order. So like I do a lot of large stuff, but I'm also involved with restructuring people's assets that are calling me that already have a few million dollars in the fiat system, and they'll see me or they'll call because they're worried about and they don't know what to do, and they'll get me, and then the conversation starts. But anyway, the next level of customer that still has some money is the people right now that aren't accessible. Those are the 40 to 50 year olds or 60 year olds that have a nest egg in RRSPs, our registered savings accounts here in Canada, or any other type of investment vehicle. And they're just learning. They're just now starting to wake up going, hey, I don't like what I see with Canada's debt. And so those people are moving hundreds of thousands at a time into the system, but those people are waking up one at a time. And I just had a few of those for this month where they're, you know, handling their own portfolio. They don't like the debt of the country. They don't like, they basically are assuming the Canadian dollar is toast, which I totally agree. And they're getting out of Dodge and they're moving hundreds of thousands at a time. Like one lady was, her first purchase was 450,000 Canadian. She never bought metal before. You know, like those are, they're moving because they're very concerned what they see. So getting the information out there to that level of client, that the mainstream retirees or pending retirement, that's our next income stream, which awareness is tough because mainstream doesn't talk about it. So that's that's a bit of a tough nut to crack. So I'm just doing everything I can, and my clients, really appreciate what I do. So they are always, if any of their own friends say, you know, hey, John, Harry, whatever, do you think something's wrong with the Canadian dollar? And they'll jump on and go, yes, call this guy. You know. And,
but you're getting stock. I mean, if you're having a $500,000 order, you've got enough to fulfill, but it's very thin in the inventory levels.
For those,
are there any people that you're having to say, look, sit on the money for a bit. This is what we can get you, but delivery times are being pushed out.
Not yet, except for if you're a $10 million, $100 million client that wants to buy kilo bars of gold, you know. Right now, we're having to source that from the Pam Swiss, you know, market, and we can't get it from domestic. And that's it. Like art will disappear
for, you know, it's
a couple of weeks per kilo bar is a couple of weeks. Yeah, like that's not a delay right now. But the sovereign mints in the Europe, you know, I learned a couple of months ago, they're rating themselves as now low on gold.
That's new.
Okay. So that's the
British. When was the last time? Do you have some stats for us? When was the last time a central bank put its hand up and said, we're now at the current rating level of low depth in inventory?
I've never heard it before this year.
Was it the best? Sorry, was it the mints or the central banks? I'm getting my wires crossed.
It's okay. It was the mints. So the sovereign mints. It's okay. Yeah. The sovereign mints of Europe are now, they're waving the flag that they're low on gold. And they don't say anything more than that. You can't ask, well, what does that mean? Is there the next category very low?
Premium.
Right? Does it mean next month it goes from low to empty? Like they don't even tell you that, you know, like it's.
That's what I'm saying. And when lost, I mean, sure, is that a banner raising event that hasn't happened in 3 decades, 4 weeks? Do you have any data on that? I mean,
I don't have any dates, but since I've been involved in the business, I've never heard of it being done before. You know, that doesn't mean it couldn't happen 30 years ago, but again, yeah. So it doesn't mean that, you know, back in 3 years ago when it was really busy in Canada, of course, it may not have been that busy in Europe, but there was no problem getting any inventory, you know. So if you're a big customer and you want to buy $100 million and you want kilo bars of gold, that's a problem. if you are someone that's, you know, hey, Andrew, I want to have, you know, 300 grand worth of silver and gold, what do you recommend? That's easy. I mean, it can be 300 grand worth of silver maples. We have it. You know, that's easy to get right now. But as we know, next week can be totally different. The mint won't tell us a thing until they're empty. It's, we can call them this week and they say, no problem, you know, and next week we're out.
Wow.
Like, that's how it all operates. It's crazy. It drives me nuts. And you have no way to try and manage.
Well, that's by design. It is them doing that by design, on the basis that giving you knowledge would allow a well-timed panic. It's far better to not tell them anything until the crisis is already on everybody. All the insiders can do a last-minute run on all the kilo bars as they start getting into the low numbers. None of us get to hear, and we're the last to know. So I do see that very much as the mushroom strategy. Keep them in the dark and feed them shit.
You remind me that I need to inquire to see what's available for 1,000-ounce silver bars, because I haven't heard, you know, they haven't been really, you know, they don't sell a lot. And so it's interesting that the 100-ounce bars are, you know, gobbled up. But, you know, I want to know what's going on with the 1,000-ounce.
Well, that's the official delivery on silver contracts. And they're quite rough when they come. They're not polished and refined. It's kind of industrial use silver bars. I have a few myself of that weight and category. And they aren't even exactly 1,000. It's much less precise and polished and refined.
Correct.
They're just big ass brick. Hey, we kind of at 997 on this one, and that one's 1,002. They allowed a certain amount of deviation, and usually you pay. it's below. But
yeah, we sell them after they've been refined by the mint. So like RCM will make a nicer product, or Isashi or whoever. So you know, we order them in when we have a certain volume on standby that we have in our possession, and if we need more, we just order. But yeah, they have about a 100-ounce variation from the high to the low. So we can get bars that are 1,100 ounces, and we can get bars that are 920, 890. But when we sell it, we only sell it by the ounce. So no one's being overcharged. So like, you know, and I actually...
How they can be so imprecise on nowadays, it absolutely shocks me, because I think every single one of mine is below the 1,000 ounce. So I'm sure the usual factor, it's kind of like when a bunch of people get together and have a meal and scrape together for tip or something. You always end up below what you should be. I have that cynicism. There should be an English...
You're all stamped and serialed and weighted on the actual bar. And then I have a list of those bars. And then so if you call me up and say, I'd like to buy some commercial, you know, 1,000-ounce bars, A, we don't deliver them. They're storage only in our country.
Wow.
Yeah. So like you can't get them.
Could it leave the country, or is it not even allowed to leave the country? It's only...
No, I'm not aware of any of those laws, but we don't... we don't deliver any of them. So they're in for storage only. Somebody else.
2 kilos. I'm just about able to hold the damn bluggers.
Yeah. Well, they're 75 pounds roughly, eh? Give or take. So, you order up and you say, you know, I got 75 grand or whatever to spend Canadian. Then I just go through the list and work out what the closest ounceage for each bars adds up to your 75 grand, and say, I got one bar for 900 and the other bar for 105. It works out to be 75 grand. Perfect. And you say, okay, let's do it. And then, so that's how we do, you know, in our country, our company. But
people can't pick the delivery. You say you store it for them, but can they drive with their pickup and collect it and take it home? Or is that not allowed?
Well, we frown on that. I don't know if we would actually absolutely refuse it, but we do say if you take possession of it, we don't buy it back.
Yeah, well, that's fine. If it stands up to a proper scan at point of delivery or collection, it will point out when they need it. Believe you me, they'll tape it. If we get to where I think we're going to be getting,
you know.
If anyone thinks about doing that stuff, I encourage people to buy a smaller denomination than 1,000 ounce, because the premiums
must start. Beds and a couple of furniture items made in solid silver, they'll never think of it. It's very good for you physically and health-wise, and they'd never think of it, and it's furniture, you know. And I'm also lining up the super thick gold chain with some pendants. I'm just missing the greasy chest wig and you know, a little bit of a comb up. But
don't forget about the 100-ounce silver bar doorstops that you can have around the house.
100%. Those are... I'm all for the innocuous ownership that's everyday in it. And I like the chain, the super thick chain that you can technically travel cross boundaries with because it's jewelry. So yeah. I'm already thinking about all of these things. You want to be able to cross borders, you know, you want to just, you know, have engraved at the back, love mum and dad or something like that, you know, like personal gift. You have half a kilo of 99.99 rose gold with a big pendant on it, which is a couple of extra ounces thrown in, and I'm ready to be that Indian guy with the best, you know. I think that time's coming. It's hysterical, isn't it? So delivery is getting tight on gold. It's never been tight in gold. There's always been gold, hasn't there? This is a kilo.
But if you want, just on kilo bars. Now that can change quickly, because if we're out of kilo bars in the RCM because of demand in Europe or wherever else, or some backdoor money has come in and bought it all, then sooner or later that same pressure, the person that's calling me up that would normally buy the kilos is now going, well, what else do you have? You got maples. Well, that's what you're about.
If I pop up a million and I can't get 1 kilo bars, the next thing I'm doing is monster boxes of maples, if that's what you're doing. Yeah.
And then so that pressure just changes to a different spot. And then the kilo, the maples get sucked dry very quickly. And that's it. You know, like we had a very large client inquiry about $100 million, you know, a number of months ago. And we've been sending out some updates, like, you know, now kilo bars are now becoming a challenge, you know, so, you know, you should decide what you want to do and move forward on this, and, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, if we tried to buy $100 million worth of maples, you know, that's 15 weeks of production from the mint done in one transaction.
Yeah.
You know, wow. And there are,
oh boy,
at least this transaction, sorry, Francis, we had a transaction that was 5 months ago, a large order for silver, 22 million, and it was 11,500 bars of silver. And then our supplier in Canada couldn't supply it. And they had to bring it all in from Dallas, Texas in the U.S.
Wow.
And we estimate that the retail supply of silver in Canada, if you deal like all the different dealers and the supplier, wholesaler, et cetera, is only about $100 million is an estimate. So you just need somebody with big pockets that comes in and then they can buy it instantly, you know, and then Canada is sold out. And Canada is like literally sold out. Sorry?
My surname is Hunt. No, I have brothers.
Oh, exactly. So when you have in Canada right now, it's literally the easiest country to get metal in, I think.
Should.
Like if you go everywhere around the world, this is the easiest country to buy metal in. And yet everyone is asleep and you know, and
I like this.
They're awake. Squeezed. I think the consumer's awake but squeezed. That's my take. There's quite a lot of wakey-wakey that's happened. You mentioned the truckers. That was a big drop. You saw the reaction because they could. Now you're seeing everything else coming along down the track, and I just don't think they can. The you know, the impoverishment, the rolling effect of increased interest rates. These things have been going for a while, and the problem that we always warn, and I'd be interested in your take on this, so I suppose there's a question on the back of this, but we see an interest rate spike on debt-based collapse. And that's going to be part of the impoverishment that's going to happen. So we were really early, and it was our first call on the bond market. In 2020, in August, we said, that's it. The 40-year bull is over, and you're going to get higher rates on an ever-increasing. And that was after the splurge. But it wasn't because of the splurge. We saw it technically, and that's why we're disappointed with the rest of the world, because no other macro technical analyst said it. We had to wait 3.5 years. In fact, it's probably 4 years before Tudor Jones and Druckenmiller came out and said it's time to be shorting. And then Zero Hedge ran an article. That was all 24. And literally, we've been heading down. And what that means to me is that we're probably going to have an interest rate spike. We have a sort of interest rate spike theory, but it's not a healthy spike. It's going to, the only currency that gets benefits out of that is the dollar as the base currency of the world, but it gets an unhealthy strength, a schizophrenic strength, that is actually based on their debt collapse, but also everybody else's, because we've all been synchronized to a highly indebted situation. And what you end up is the globals run on interest rates, which is a perfect mechanism for flushing everybody out, because, you know, you didn't pay your mortgage. That's why you lost your house. You know, what do you expect us to do? You know, you should pay. And you say, well, the whole world collapsed around me at the same time. I lost my job. I lost everything at the same time. It's one of the real reasons why we've been saying get 100% out of debt. Have unencumbered property. Now, that's obviously a difficult one if you're an early home buyer and all of that. But for everyone who can, get the banks out of your life, because they are the nanothermite of this controlled demolition. What do you think about interest rates, the outlooks, and how that turns into an impoverished factor? Even those who've stacked, if they've got debt, they're going to have to stump up the gold and silver to pay rent and mortgages.
Let me unpack that one step at a time. I want to jump in with one of your last points was about getting out of an encumbered property debt as soon as you possibly can. And I believe that's a challenge, as you acknowledge as well, with regards to people. And I've come up with a bit of a plan on that, which I'll share for your viewers. Because, you know, when you're talking to somebody that, you know, has hundreds of thousands left on a mortgage, they just can't get rid of the debt fast enough. It's impossible. Yeah. So I tell them,
it's getting harder with you read.
Exactly. So I've now suggested and taken a different tact on this, and that is as follows. Stop worrying about paying off your mortgage, because if you can't do it instantly, then don't worry about it. Just maintain whatever you're paying now and stack and put a position away as your defensive line with gold and silver. And at some point down the road, you may lose your house. But you're also, at the same time you're losing your house, everybody else is losing their house, and you'll be able to buy a house for 1 or 2 ounces of gold or 100 ounces of silver, and you won't be homeless. You'll just have to move.
They do bankruptcy and they come for all the assets, because what I'm finding, I tried to, I was in Australia a day or so ago and I wanted to leave presents. So I went on down to the Perth Mint and I had to do a full KYC just for under 2,000 Australian, which is a pittance. I mean, I was buying little 20th ounces for various nieces and nephews and all of that. And for 5 or 6 people, and then I got 1 5-ounce silver coin. It was just to fit in under 2,000. And as I say, KYC'd up to the hilt. And if you wanted to spend more than the 2,000, I wouldn't have been able to qualify in time for my trip and going home. So, I mean, the problem now is it's going in a bankruptcy procedure. If you perceive to be an owner of anything that has value, they will do a fast track bankruptcy and they'll seize assets very quickly. They're probably coordinating that. That's the problem, I feel. I like the idea. I like how you're thinking, and it may work. I'm dissing it. The problem is,
so that I agree with what you just said. I'm thinking about the people that are not in debt. They can't afford their property tax anymore. They just can't afford to live where they're living. They're older, they're whatever. And they don't have necessarily an encumbered property, but they have to sell it because they can't meet their bills anymore. And so if it's a private sale, there will be private sales around. There always has been, always will be. And you'll be walking in the door saying, here's 100 ounces of silver. And you'll be rescuing them from poverty, and you get the property. And, you know,
I think in my time, the full re-rating, they'll continue to exert derivative manipulation on the two metals, particularly silver. And the only time you get the true valuation, which I think is huge multiples in our stable coin dollar that isn't a CBDC, the only time all of that comes right is after they've already captured most of the people, flushed them out. You see, they can control the firing order of this a little bit. So you're going to have to survive, have enough ammo to survive the first hits that's going to clean most people out. So that you don't become one of the UBI serfs. And it's hard. I mean, what do I say to a 28-year-old who's got a new wife and has got a 90% loan to value on his property? You know, he needs to talk to his family. They need to be rock solid so that they can be strong for him. Because preferably fix your rates, even though it's more expensive now. It could get a lot more. Look, I still think they could force Mazur through a fixed rate deal as well. They cheat. The great taking is all about cheating and lying and hypothecation and basically harvesting everybody's wealth in one big grand fraud. But it's still better to be fixed and have the initial protection. And it's like being insured versus not against interest rate cycle. Let them at least come and lie to you.
Yeah. Now, with regards to your interest rate question, I agree. You know, we're seeing the lowering of daily rates, yet the 10-year rates are going up.
We had 100 basis points down and the market went 100 basis points up over the exact same 4 months that started in September. We've been doing a lot of coverage on this. I mean, no one watches the US 10-year closer than my community and I, you know, they hear from me daily on what the debt markets are doing. And that's the key.
When you see that, I mean, to me, that's a warning sign to me. You know, what is it? But I'm not a chart analyst. So what does it say to you when they go down 100 basis points and the 10-year yield goes up 100 basis points? What does it tell you directly?
Central bankers do not control the price discovery mechanism and demand is control. That means economics 101 of supply and demand is now once again coming in to play a role and you're actually getting some truth and the manipulators are being undermined and there's an unraveling coming. And that's gold, silver, you know, phoenix moment. That's why I'm disappointed. And I think a lot of Canadians do get that. I mean, we've got a lot of Canadian support for our YouTube channel as Australian, the Commonwealth nations, all of them, the US, everybody. And a lot of people are seeing it, but I just think they don't have the ammo to buy because everything cost-wise has gone up. You know, in terms of the prices for our own services, that we charge. I haven't put prices up since 2017. We're on our same side. Because I don't think the market can take it. I don't think the market can take it. Not that I don't think we are worth more. It's not a greed thing for me. I'm very lucky. But I think the value now in terms of all the assets we bought, but the market won't take, 50. We should be, if you're talking about 2017 today in any other product, or services, you're probably talking about something that should be about 2.5 times that by cost in terms of true inflation in hours. If it's representing the same value, if you've actually supplemented it, it should do a lot more. Anyway, that's my suspicion as a business owner. I don't think the market can take it. I think the consumer has got his back against the wall. And you look in the US, so I don't have Canadian specific stats, bankruptcies, duration of credit card unpaid mortgage loans durations, number that are in 3 months or more arrears. That's serious arrears. You know, that's head under the water. The guy just can't do it. All those give going up in this Goldilocks economy of ours. Well,
yeah, exactly. I can give you a couple of headlines on that statement. A few months ago, there was a article that bankruptcies in Canada year over year from August last year to August of 23 to August 24. So it's a bit delayed information, but it only comes out like 6 months later after the year. So it only came out in December. Is up 260% on delinquency of mortgages in Canada. And then there was a headline just the other day from RBC, which is our largest bank in Canada. And they said, the title of it was Banking Crisis. Bank is in crisis mode as 1 in 3 Canadians are filing for bankruptcy.
1 in 3? Surely not.
Well, I just listened to the whole article, but not really.
Specific age group range. It might be the young and recently employed. I would say that's almost even would shock me if, and I'm not easily shocked, if it was all populations, but it's certainly.
Wait, it's never all population because you have retirees or you have kids and all.
It's an age group. But yeah, if you caught the tail end of a headline, it must be, wow. I mean, that's whatever segment it is, it's devastation.
You know, whatever.
People do that. You know, they've been suffering and they've burned every last piece of fat that they have in that could be, you know, all the secondhand bikes have gone and the, you know, the toys and the trinkets and the gold war.
Yeah, they've sold everything they have. And another stat that's been floating around Canada for a couple of years now is that 85% of Canadians can't handle an unforeseen $250 bill, like as in a, you know, a car repair or whatever. And, you know, that's going to go on credit or their credit's already maxed. You know, they have no way to pay it. They're just going to put it on credit. And that's, you know, that's severely unhealthy right across the board, you know, as a nation.
Yeah, that is scary. And I would say to you, those are, I often see a stat similar in the States. You know, if there was a $500 unexpected expense, it has to go on credit. It can't be furnished. And in many cases, the limit isn't available. So it would cause serious financial distress to the family. They would have to borrow from family members or others just to make and meet. This is my retail. This is what I call the two-tier economic environment. Just by the way, I would like to, you may have been disturbed slightly in talk by a beep. I would like just to highlight to you, we're talking at quite a opportune moment. Gold has just hit a new high. So given that we are talking and the day is the 30th of January, it is 23 minutes past 5 in the afternoon in Cape Town, South Africa, where I am fortunate to be. What's the time there in Canada, Andrew?
It's where I am, it's 11:24. And I think in Canadian dollars, spot price Canadian is right now $4,029.47. That could
be. Is that a new high?
I believe it is. And yep. And that means buying a retail ounce of gold maple will cost you $4,180. Yet, you know, it's only going to be $2,900 American.
Wow. So I'm going to bring this up. We're on the dollar chart that most people, the US dollar, not the Canadian dollar, that most people understand a little better for all our audience, but I'm glad to have the Canadian translation. But this has just taken out a high, and I can just confirm that with you. The previous high is 2,000, so we're looking over here just for everybody's benefit. That's the high we want to watch right now. And when I move the cursor over the previous high that we had 2790.07. And 2790.17, and we are now almost 2791. We are 27. Yeah, it's been done. So we've just traded it right this second, 2790.1. By the way, we've been suggesting to everybody that you should be in this structure technical. So this is technical, our technical gig. You might have to just sit through this as someone, but I'm sure you appreciate charts, even if you're not a technical guy, that this has a target to this level over here, very close to, which is the doorstep of 2,900. And we actually also have a second target that's from a far larger, bigger structure, which I'll just take you up to the weekly, that says this 2,900 is a real level. That's this bull flag target all the way from the lows here at 1.6. We've been calling and waiting for a blow-off through 2,900. This is a bull flag. It came out of this three-year sideways move, that pole. That doesn't mean we're calling the top of the market at 2,900. We just feel there might be subsequent reaction that will potentially curb it. We don't think you make the 3,000, but if we had a really disorderly day, you could make the 3,000 and then pull back for a while and churn for a bit before making much higher numbers later, like 6,800, 7,500, and. But that would be a possible localized high point, this blow-off move for us. And you and I are talking as it just takes out the high. So it's quite a key moment. We've just cracked another high on gold in dollar. And by the way, I don't think that's that different across many other pairs. XAUCHF, which is gold on the Swissie, new high gold on the Swiss franc. And that comes in at 2,528. So the Swiss franc is stronger than the dollar. XAU CAD, which was the one you were discussing, and we didn't have the viewers follow us on that one. You've been making a series of new highs since mid-January, almost every 3 or 4 days in a row, one pullback. And there's your 4,000 that you were discussing, $4,021 I have here, which with, as you mentioned, with all the others. Just in terms of the Chinese yuan, who also we haven't spoken much about, but prodigious buyers of precious metals. They're at a new high at 20,278. The Japanese yen, we can do this, and we'll include the euro and the GBP in that. So JPY, new highs. Every fiat currency, oh, no, yen not, because we've had a little bit of counter strength. So the yen is the only one so far today that is not knocking out a new high. But it must be pointed out that 24th of January, 4 days ago, it had a new high on yen weakness. And there's just been a little bout of yen strength recently for the last 2 or 3 days. So the only one so far not making a new high is the yen gold exchange. We are slightly off, so we've got to add the pound on that. We have yet to run, but looks like it's imminent. So GBP isn't yet at a new high. The high was £2,243 for an ounce of gold. It is now sitting at £2,238. So you're literally £5 shy, a very, very small percent, and moving higher. And that high was recently when the pound was super weak, 24th of Jan. So both the yen and the pound were making new highs 4 days ago and have subsequently had a little bit of a pullback. Let's see where the euro stands, and then we'll call this little roundabout routine over. Gold euro, new high. Gold euro, new high, 2,674. And it has taken out the previous high, also of the 24th of January. So we've just about done all the major currencies there. I'm tempted to throw in one more, the Singapore dollar, which is another semi-serious fiat, like the Swiss franc, and throw it in, although it's far from perfect. And I can confirm the Singapore dollar is also at a new high against all of them. And
business. I'd like you to go back to the Canadian dollar one before you take the screen off. I want to ask you something about that.
Sure. South African rand, not yet, but it was at a new high the 24th, the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th. So it's only not managed today, but very close to new highs. Let's go back to Canadian and tell us what you're thinking.
So I've been coming up with a theory, and then, you know, at best I would be like a trend forecaster, if you will. I like watching chart guys because I can follow along, but I don't know. I'm still learning charts, so I can't look at one without being explained. So what I've been thinking about the last couple of weeks is we had this pullback in Canada and US, you know, let's call it $150 US in gold pricing. And then it's come back, you know, roughly the $150. In Canada terms, in Canadian dollar terms, it's up $500. Okay? In the same period of time. So my question is, right now the Canadian dollar excuse me, is let's call it 69 cents to the US dollar. And it's been hovering up and down half a penny one way or the other for the last month. So on the exchange rate, I get why there's a difference, but that dollar amount is larger than just 40%. And if the US-Canada exchange has only varied by, let's call it one penny over the last month, why has the Canadian dollar in gold terms, how has gold in Canadian dollar terms rather still gone up like about $200?
Yeah.
And my theory about that is, if this is accurate, is I think gold in Canada is sniffing out that the currency is starting to fail.
Yeah, well, the more gold goes up as an asset reserve. So you mentioned currency, and I want to take everything, if I can, it's not so much a correction, but I do want to make a statement on this. The debt-based collapse. Debt is the foundation, and currency is a derivative of that debt. It's very common told that currency trades much more, it's the bigger market. That's because people all over the world are swapping one for another, doing travel. There's a lot of betting and trading that goes on. People don't do that on debt. But actually, the base of the pyramid is debt. It's a borrowed into existence piece of money. And you quite correctly said 408%. Of GDP, essentially, with all debts taken in. I think it also included personal, commercial, government, etc. And that is the collapse. And the nations that are going to collapse first are the most indebted ones, apart from America, which has a unique license. And their currencies go first. So I've spoken of the village of currencies in the outer boundary, and the king is in the middle with the dollar. And then, you know, maybe a few other big nation ones or lesser indebted ones like Singapore and Switzerland. Not perfect, either of them, by the way. And there's no bastions of virtue here. But you collapse from the periphery in. It will be the Rand and the Turkish Lira which will go, and then the Canadian, then the Aussie, then we come in. And whilst those are collapsing, there will be a run into the dollar as well as into gold, which is why we will have gold go up on a strengthening dollar eventually, which will be the collapse. Now, if you look at what's happening right now, gold is going up on a relatively firm dollar, and the Canadian, the Aussie are going down, and the Rand, and the, I suspect the Lira as well, God bless it, the Turkish Lira, are all those. So we're going to, you know, it's kind of the barbarians are coming, and some of the villagers that are homeless live outside the city walls. They're getting sacrificed by the army, the attacking army first. Then they've got to breach the one set of walls, the other and the other, and the king is in the middle. So it's the last thing to fall. And while they fall, a lot of people or energy will rush into them, although people will see what's happening and jump into gold too, and more of it will be sought. And there's a real shortage in gold, whilst dollars can be printed and proliferate during this period. So I actually would say you're getting the debt-based collapse that is manifesting through your currency, and you're also getting the reserve asset status of gold being recognized, where debt, bonds, was never a reserve asset. It was during a bull 40-year period that saw it completely be perverted so that it paid very low yields. Too much of it was proliferated, and now we've got an explosion of it and nobody wants it, and you have high inflation. So it's not seen as a reserve asset anymore. What does everybody do? The 40-60 portfolio eliminated gold's role as part of the complete portfolio. That was the financial engineering era of the Greenspan proliferation era, into all the central bankers and the hedge fund industry. Why hold gold? Here now, everybody is reminded of the reason we're supposed to hold gold. And you got the Canadian falling against the dollar and against gold, and you're getting the super run. That would be my explanatory trait. It all comes down to a debt failure system on a debt-based system.
So it's quite possible, just to confirm my understanding of what you just said, that let's just say the exchange rate between the US dollar and the Canadian dollar stays constant for the next 6 months. It doesn't change at all. And let's just say, for example, gold in US dollar terms stays the same for this point. But in Canadian dollar terms, it could very well be possible that gold continues to go up and up and up against the Canadian dollar when everything else could be stable, because gold knows the Canadian dollar is failing because the debt system in our country is failing. Is that possible?
Yes, but you wouldn't stay the same to the dollar. You would do, the currency would be failing against other currencies. If you're singled out to go through, you would be failing across the board. But
sure.
I think they want a group managed fail. They're going to save one nation the particular indignity, I think, of this by putting a crop of nations through. That'll be zone one and the first to go. I'm going to bring up the Dixie. By the way, what another thing that happened, where at 8:30, I suspect on the time adjustment, I'm just going to correct that this is showing at 10:30 at Bogota time. I don't know how it got me there. But I suspect that data just came in with the GDP quarter on quarter. And I think that is why we might have also had a little bit of a surge in the markets right now. So I'm just going to put the correct time on here and we can check it. Let's go Istanbul. Where's Johannesburg? Yeah, don't want to give it to us. I'm pretty sure it's plus one or plus two. Maybe it's plus two. Pretoria. Okay, that'll do. Save settings. So I think what happened is, yes, you see, that was 3:30 that this happened. We had an undershoot on GDP quarter on quarter. Forecast was 2.7. So this was data that came out today, January 30th, which is what we are. And we undershot on the GDP. So things aren't so great as we claim. But the unemployment claims was mildly better than expected, although they expected worse than last time by a small amount. But the main thing, I think the big miss there is the GDP. 2.3 against 2.7. That's some miss. And by the way, the previous was 3.1. So that's one heck of a clawback on that. I think that's fear. And instead of rushing, we need to see what the treasuries are doing right now. They're still sitting in this broadening structure. So it's not been particularly volatile on the treasuries. It's gold that's running. And that's on the economy ain't that good. So we probably anticipate not so many more potentially more cuts or more dovishness. I don't think you really can do too many more cuts, but at least a more dovish vibe if the GDP number is slipping.
Well, I think you're going to see America go to zero, in the near future. So pressure is still going to be there. Actually, Gregor Manarino says here an hour ago, negative rates are coming. So,
I don't see that, I'm afraid. So the whole what people forget when they get super excited about a major disinflationary event, what they forget is that somebody has to buy the debt. It's somebody's asset. And when you go low rates, you're increasing the valuation of that and reducing the return. And the market is not accepting that. That is why we had the 100 basis points down in the Fed cutting, and the bid for US Treasury went up and down in valuation. It should have made the debt more valuable. Instead, it actually made it less valuable. And people were saying, I'm not bidding there. I'm not bidding. Nobody wants it.
So if the US wrongly goes to zero or negative, maybe
so when we say zero, let's be clear. The Fed might try cut all the way down to zero. The newly found spine for the price discovery mechanism inside the debt markets, I do not at all see going anywhere near zero. In fact, I see lot of pullbacks and higher highs. And I don't see the Fed could cut to zero if there was this huge divergence for all credibility. So I just don't agree with Greg, full stop, at any level, not at the Fed level or in the open price markets level. He's a good guy, and it's just a point of issue. I don't
believe that's it. Yeah, everyone has opinions because it's, who's got the crystal.
Well, to go to zero, you're hypervaluing the debt. Let's just be clear. So yeah. You go to zero, I'm going to pull up TLT, which is the iShares long-term, let's get this up, long-term ETF for debt. And this was part of the ones we called short in the markets. I just want that to go away, go away, go away. get a bit more chart space. So this is when in 2020, when they ran rates down to 0.31 on the 10-year, that's when we called short on the TLT. This was a blow-off high in the TLT that collapsed to there. I can show you it in this is already on quite a high time frame, a monthly time frame, but you'll see that was an absolute blow-off. And that was because everyone was in fear and the bond market had no problem getting a bid and the stock market was collapsing. There was only one game in town to buy. Nowadays, people are buying gold, not debt. So if Greg is saying it's going to naught, what he's actually saying is this ETF of long-term bonds is going to go up in value from 88 to past that previous high because the interest rate was 0.3 when it was up here to go all the way up to 185. Who's going to be buying and revaluing that amount of debt up to there after what was probably an end of cycle blow-off high? Technically, I'll have to.
Nobody would. It's going to be the U.S. Fed or the Treasury going to buy its own debt.
But they won't to have the money to buy it at super high valued prices. The wall of money they're going to have to throw in here. Remember, every rational person is looking out of debt. Pension funds want out of debt. They want Bitcoin. They want fancy tech stocks. And they've suddenly relearned the value of gold. Everybody wants out of debt. So they're going to have to be the toxic bank for everybody who wants to sell. And there are absolute trillions in debt. Plus, they have to, while it goes ever higher in value, because they're buying a bottomless pit, would have to keep paying more all the way up to try and get those rates down. It's an impossibility. I wouldn't want to know how many quadrillions they would have to spend to send the equivalent of this ETF back up to where it once was. Literally everybody wants out. And you have the George Soros pound crisis as an example, as a microcosm. You have Stanley Druckenmiller, Paul Tudor Jones, and all his friends that have suddenly learnt that it's over for debt, seeing the Fed do their last dance manipulation, all shorting it with leverage, and eventually the bank loses, as we saw with Britain. In the no-sense trade, they lose. So it's not a plausible scenario for me at all. You might get a rally here because there's going to be fear of a crash and they will get a little bit of Pavlovian response into the debt markets. But this was a head and shoulder turn on a major blow off event. And it's seen again, as I say, if you have a look at it on the 10-year, US 10-year, you can see what a huge 40-year cycle this is. That was 2020. That was an absolute capitulation in yield. That was peak debt valuation. And it has come from literally the Volcker highs. That was your 40-year cycle.
Wow.
And that is trend change. That is serious trend change. Just like you get blow-offs in the NASDAQ, you get final capitulations in rate yields. And that's Volcker peak. That's your trend of bullishness for bonds, and that was the last bonds. Since then, we've changed. Look, we won't get to the same heights before. The whole game will have reset long before. This doesn't get to revisit back up there, but things will break long before then. They're breaking now. Gold is looking.
Part of this chart you're looking at, circling back to the earlier question about the hyperinflation.
Yeah.
These are going to be linked. If they start money printing like a lower and do try to lower interest rates, we will have a Weimar Republic style hyperinflation event, you know, in various countries, you know, when they start to do this.
Oh, yeah, but the only difference is this is going to be the whole Western hemisphere, particularly. I think it will affect globally. We've never had something of the scale, and it will affect globally, but it'll be particularly bad for Western nations. Because we have lost our manufacturing base as well. Everybody thought, oh, tech is the new cool thing. You don't need a manufacturing base anymore. Everything is rah-rah supermarket caps on software service and all of this thing. And then you find China can copy it, as many people complain, or make it better, and you lose that. You don't lose making goods in a factory for most of the Western nations in Beijing and outlying areas at that scale. They have huge scale, China. And they're going to continue to have that. Yes, they'll take a recession with us if we stop buying. But sorry, I wasn't showing the chart, but that was the 10 years trend. That's, we consider that to be a final capitulation, like a final blow off from the Falker highs over here. I wasn't doing chart share. That's Falker who raised the rates, who devalued all the Vietnam debt so that you could get a clean slate to get it again. America spent more than on munitions than they did all of World War II on that war. And then everyone started asking for their gold. Now, that was the rest of the world with one nation. Now we have the entire Western nation and even the others in an equally sordid state. We've never seen economic case history like that. And the only solution is gold. And the amazing thing is we're seeing it trade. The disappointment, so here's the gold back on the CAD. Your new high continues, 4,024. We actually have an upside HVF structure here, which is a technical pattern that's suggesting you will run 4,148. As well. The problem we're having at the moment is gold silver is not running yet to the same degree. And I'm curious on your take on that.
Oh, I scared you even asked me that one. Silver has always been the laggard. It wakes up 2 weeks later or 2 years later.
And as we're going to be a 6 week high, however, is the headline that we're currently getting.
Well, 6 week high, but certainly, in Canadian dollars, we were selling silver maple coins before Christmas for $54 a coin, and now they're just under 51. Like a little under 51 bucks, give or take. And so we're still, we're nowhere near, previous highs from years ago. I've got people asking me right now, should I be selling my gold and going into silver? Cause it's more of a bargain it's more, of a value at the moment. That's what my answer was. I think gold is going to continue to plug along here, and I think silver will be asleep a little longer. And so,
listen, when you're getting record new highs against most fiat currencies bar two, and they all made highs no more than 4 days ago on those two, you're going to get a reaction out of silver. It can't ignore everything. We've got a $330 on a multi-year cross, which has the 80s high here and here, but that's not the same dollar. I mean, it's a technical aberration. It's not the same dollar setup. You won't, everything will be in hundreds of dollars, even small produce. That's not the same dollar. That's our setup that we have on silver eventually. And it has triggered and broken, but we've been playing on this line. And the line, it won't surprise you that 30 is a key level. And we've got to get past this 50, this 45, 50 range, which you've had two before, there and there, 1980 and 2011. And this is just triggered, and that's I think is a move. Our problem is that gold beats it. By the way, this is gold against the M1 money supply loan stock. I want to just put this on a just so that people who think you are too expensive for gold, I just want to show you how low. And this gap here was on COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So after CV19, gold is yet to even really reclaim the relative lows that it was before. Such was the splurge of capital. If you look at that chart, that actually shows you there isn't a number big enough right now.
Yeah.
That was it's not a data error. That's May 2020. They just threw that amount of money into the fire. This thing is just getting started. It is truly just getting started. And if I put XAU, XAG on there, this is our concern. We need silver. We broke out over here. Now, it is doing a return move. We thought it might, but generally gold is the performer. We need silver down, taking out this blue line at 74 and then subsequently 65. That's what we've been waiting for a lengthy period. We've got a you know, a potential technical setup there. But at the moment, it's going to the upside. So the bias remains gold, although this month, as far as we are today, which is January, and there's only really one more day to go, we might have a pullback candle. But if you look at this from here, most of the months since that low, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are green and 2 are red. So we've been working our way up to a new high. We need this to finish and come back down. That's when we can start getting excited. Silver, wait for the 75 break and double up on the 65. That's my take, because then we're heading quite a long way further down. How's the buyers like when they choose in their mix? What are you seeing in the market?
Mostly silver. Depends on the buyer. So you have someone that's a multimillionaire, you know, like they're buying, you know, they're buying gold, you know, because they've got a bunch of silver already. But when you're talking with someone who's just starting, you know, they are getting into silver. They ask, and I say, you know, the phrase I've come up with over the last couple of years is gold is for wealth preservation, silver is for self-preservation. And so you can have all the gold, but you can't go to the farmer's market and barter with it very easily. You need silver for that. So I encourage people to buy their silver. And, you know, for us, it'd be silver maples as your primary. Get a stash of that as your first purchasing while you can, and then work your way from there. And I also believe, right or wrong, but in my opinion, when this stuff really hits the fan and we're, you know, in a CBDC scenario that people want to stay out of, the free market will be trading with silver coinage. You can't trade in gold coinage.
Can I say the black market? Because I don't think it will be very free or allowed by the controllers in charge. I think they're going
to 100%.
Yeah,
they call it the black market. They call it the black market to try and paint it as a negative. So that's actually a free market. Black market.
Oh yes. I'm talking how the MSM will frame this and how your governments. By the way, I want to take one other comment about this. We put our community in here on platinum. This was a trade we've been watching. And this is, again, our three impulse long that's been setting up on platinum coming out of a falling wedge. And it's been deeply undervalued and is incredibly rare. The numbers for platinum, there's 8 times. Typically, Neumeier of First Majestic says he gets 8 ounces for every gold ounce. And in platinum, you get 1 ounce for every 20 gold ounces of platinum.
Wow.
That's how rare it is. And most
we rarely sell any platinum.
Yeah. Do they charge a tax or a VAT on it that they don't charge on silver or gold? How's the tax?
There's no tax on bullion, grade, platinum, or silver or gold.
See, in the UK, you pay VAT on silver and platinum, but not on gold.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had another question that I wanted to pose to you is after the big event yesterday with Bank of England and the run and the basically default 4 to 8 weeks and, you know, longer. Do you anticipate, like I've been waiting, I couldn't wait to get up today and start my day and start looking for headlines with regards to, you know, more bank run at Bank of England. Like, you know, so-and-so billionaire wakes up, sees that headline from somewhere, and now they want their money out, you know? And
want their gold from
a... Well, that's what I'm referring to. They want
their physical gold at home or somewhere else apart from their bank. That's where things get deeply disorderly and the people start asking for stuff. And they say, well, it's not sure. It's not very convenient right now. And then they're phoning the other guy, oh, you might want to come and get some of your gold, but we can only give you a small percentage of it. And then the excuses start coming and people stop answering their phones. And then irate customers start showing up at the bank. That's the big bust. That's the hypothecation. I mean, I've said many times, people will be stunned by the full degree of absolute fraud, deception, and deceit by the banker cartel when the curtain is pulled back on the full gold, silver, bank crash thing. And you will realize the lies go beyond even that which you could have guessed. And the degree of leverage and the perversion and the deception, and yes, everything's fine, and paying you store, charging you storage on gold they never had. All the stuff.
I know.
And at once I'll have 100 clients paying storage on that full amount. You will see it like it's going to be a joker's paradise in terms of all the skeletons that are going to come tumbling out. Literally, we all should paint our faces and go around with a 9mm shooting mainstream media heads. It's going to be a huge pandemic.
You know, based on what you just said, you reminded me about the Perth Mint, shenanigans a few years ago, where they were, smoke was coming out of that place where people didn't have what they thought they had. And so I don't know where I haven't heard another piece of information from that, but that's not that much different than what's going on at
Bangladesh. Yeah.
So they've done a great job of covering it up or what, but I just think the next couple of days are going to be very telling that we're going to start seeing Maneco 64 or something in UK going, hey, here's another article where a billionaire is now, pulling out their, moving their gold from there to Brinks or wherever. And now it's just 6 months to get the 2 billion note.
Yeah.
You're
going to see what America did to Germany. You're going to see banks doing to high net worth customers and everyday customers on bullion delivery.
Yeah,
because they can't fetch it. You can fetch some of it maybe in a few weeks' time, and we can give you in bits and pieces some of it at some point. And you'll go, well, if you have it, why can't I come down and get it all? No, it's not how we operate. As you see our terms, we're also entitled to settle you in cash fiat, by the way. Wouldn't you just like that too? It's as over, we can just send electronic money to your bank account, Yeah. How about that? I want my bullion. That absolute fraud, the scum, the narratives, I can see them coming. I'm waiting with bated breath. I have zero precious metals in banks, that I can tell you. And I encourage you right now, think about where your bullion is stored. It's counterparty risk season, bud.
Yeah, 100%. This is the same thing as New York, repatriating the gold back to Germany. And it took 8 years.
And how every nation that gets democracy exported to it, like Libya and everything, first thing that disappears, Ukraine. Ukraine's lost their gold. It's been taken.
Yeah. I tell people that all the time. I said, the nation invades another country. They don't steal the broccoli. They go after the gold.
It's the first thing that goes straight to the money. Fling it open. Empty, 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 empty. Gold is money. Everything. The only thing that is noble is precious metals. Everything else is derivative syndicated fraud. And I include the crypto en masse for that. And they're going to tie Ponzi scheme with this fluffy cryptos that they're going to hyperinflate and tell you that it's, digital gold. Why would it? They spend their whole time explaining why they're better than gold whilst asserting that they're digital gold. What an incredibly interesting polarity to a narrative. We've faced something that we're so much better from, and you shouldn't even think about, and everything, and it's garbage. But we are the alternative, and we're the digital version thereof.
I know it's crazy. Did you ever hear Jim Rickards reference? Why is it that every crypto is represented in either yellow or gold colors?
No, but it's a good point.
Gold and silver colors. Pardon me. They don't show a black coin or a white coin or a polka dot coin, green.
Yeah, I want trans pink token. Well, this is all the rage. Now, anyway, let's bring it. Let's see if I think that's money. You shiny gold. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want a shiny silver? Come on.
Yeah. They didn't represent Bitcoin in anything other than gold with a little bit of black on it. Exactly. All right. Like, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
It is.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Andrew, this has been great fun chatting with you. It was a good discussion. Thank you for all the info and the insights in terms of where the Canadian market is. It seems inventories are low, but at the same time, buyers are thin.
Yep.
Apart from the occasional whale that shows up with 100 mil or 500,000 and all points in between, a couple of a million. So you're surviving on that. Long may that continue. What's your final forecast for everything or your message to the audience if you were giving a three-point bullet plan to surviving the financial aspects of what this reset is likely to look like? What would you say?
I would say that, you know, I recommend to clients, whatever you don't want to lose, you need to get off the system, off the grid, and hold in real physical assets, which doesn't necessarily mean just gold and silver. It could be extra food, you know, resources around your house that you can make and be more resilient to problems that are going to occur. And then on the financial side, you know, you need to severely downside your exposure to the markets. Again, not discussing day traders and people that are doing that. I'm talking about the average Joe that just invests and forgets about what they're doing and don't look at stuff day to day. These people will be caught. And then ideally what you are wanting to do is restructure yourself before everyone else is doing the same thing. And, you know, I tell people all the time, well, you know, this has been going on a lot longer than any of us thought this would last.
Mm.
But you can't, you know, when the theater starts getting smoke in it, you know, you need to have left already. Because when everyone gets up to leave, you can't, you're stuck. Now you're stuck in the theater and the fire is going to come.
That's right.
So
when everyone hits the exit at the same time, you ain't getting out because it's a traffic jam and it ain't happening. You have to be different. You have to have left sooner, 5 minutes before, when there's no one else leaving and they're all laughing and enjoying the movie. Yeah.
Like I tell people, well, you know, fearmonger this and fearmonger that and whatever. I'm like, you know, I've been preparing for 8.5 years. And I started buying silver at $20 an ounce Canadian. How has it hurt me to be this early? And of course, they can all have an answer for that. And I said, the system could shut down tomorrow. I'm unaffected financially. So how has it hurt me to be early?
Yeah.
You're going to try and day trade, or, you know, you're going to try and stay until the 11th hour when everyone else is trying to get out. It will be unattainable. You will not get out and you're not going to get the memo 2 weeks ahead of time, but we're shutting the system down.
We'll be the last to hear. The truth of the matter is, as ever, we'll be the last to hear. Retail, unconnected, non-insiders, you're the last to hear. And it'll be a story as well. And that'd be the justification.
That's it. And then, you know, I had a client that was retired that saw one of my interviews one day, and he called me up and we chatted, and anyway, he says, you know, I've been suspicious about this for a long time, but I just didn't have the confidence to make the changes. And you explained it very well. Anyway, long story short is he moved about 1.4 million, which was all of his portfolio, off the grid. And he's retired, has nothing else to do. And it took him a month to get all of his assets sold, restructured, and repositioned. And he said to me, quote unquote, I now realize it's not my money. It's this hard to get my money out of the system. What would be happening if just 10% of the population were trying to do the same thing? It wouldn't have happened. And I said, you're right.
And the amount of questions when you ask for your stuff back, as you say, as per the great taking, none of it's yours when you deposit it there. They see it as theirs and they will treat you like some beggar when you ask for what rightfully your own.
They don't, and not until they go through the exercise themselves. But there's nothing wrong with being early, but there's a lot wrong with being late. And you know, you will be hurt by it if you keep on waiting, because it will happen before you know it. Maybe it's next Monday, maybe it's a year from now next Monday. You're better off just pretending it's 2 or 3 weeks away and restructure all your assets so you're already done. Yeah. And then you just continue on with life.
because it's going to take you a lot longer than you realize, as you've already pointed out.
Yeah,
that's great advice, Andrew. Thank you so much. And it's been great having this discussion with you. It's really cool. And thank you for giving us the insights of what's going on Canada side. I say Canada, for Canadians. I suspect that there'll be many in Australia and the US that will be thinking something very, very similar. I don't think your experience on the flows is going to be that different. Insiders will be buying like hell. And it's got me wanting to call my dealers, personally, just having and the new lies. And finally, Andrew, if people want to get hold of you to secure their precious metals, particularly Canadians, but I don't know if you serve any other markets, please just tell us how they could go about doing that.
Sure. So thank you for the opportunity, Francis. They can call our toll-free number, which is on our website, sprottmoney.com or sprottmoney.ca for Canada, 1-888-861-0775. My extension is 230 if they wish to speak to me. And my email, that is easy to remember, is death of the dollar. That's frottmoney.com, for anyone that's wanting to connect with me. We're all salary here. So I do these as information. I'm not remunerated for, sales. We're all salary in our sales department. So, you know, people are welcome to reach out to me and they want to get some information and have a discussion. I'm happy to help people. That's why I'm here. And we service North America and parts of the globe as long as we can ship to it. So also, toll free anywhere in the world.
Well, that's great. That's super handy. So more than just North America, where can guys find out? We may have people from other parts of the world. Can they? Is it on your website where you can deliver?
I don't think no, because that list I think changes whatnot. It would just be an inquiry. You send an email where to deliver. And if it makes sense that we can get it there cheaper than, you know, like some places are not able to be done at all because of whatever it was used by South America. So it's just an inquiry. You can send me an email or whatever, and I'll find out if it's deliverable and whatever the expenses would be based on what somebody wants. So, if we can do it, we'll do it. So,
great. Excellent.
All right, thank you so much again.
Tired of profit wipeouts and blown accounts from following trade signal groups? Looking for a better way to trade? Why not be part of a principled, structured, and technically based community set inside a unique trading methodology? Enjoy a constructive learning environment while practically trading markets, supported by a bespoke platform run through browser or app, specifically designed to teach and engage you whilst learning and growing as the markets move. This is not a Telegram or Slack signal group. All trade ideas are based on a proprietary technical analysis process honed over decades, which is the HVF method, leading to trade ideas with fast-moving breakouts and tight stops, exact entries and exits, nuanced interim considerations, and ultimately strong rewards. Submissions are graded and scored by Francis for potential high-quality setups, and we provide bespoke tools to help get the job done properly and with precision. Over time, and with focused effort, you'll begin to look at charts, price action, and markets in a whole new light. Community updates every day by Francis and our three webinars a week provide a 360-degree approach, which are presented by our experienced team of trade leaders, to spot potential trades. We're a community of self-actualized individuals, spanning the globe and active 24/7, 365. The premium community provides a warm, supportive, and cooperative place for people willing to listen, participate, contribute, and to learn. Transform your approach to trading now. Transform your life. Book an introductory call with us on the link below.